When it comes to healing from narcissistic abuse, spiritual awakenings, and self-discovery, I think human design is the perfect tool in that trifecta crossroads. It helps you understand your unique human design, well, your energy blueprint, and understands your energy makeup and how you are here to learn the lessons you are here to learn on Earth in this body. And I'm going to be covering today manifesting generators specifically, but don't worry if you're not one. I also am including you in how to understand your discernment with narcissists in your relationships. Welcome back to the Empath and Narcissist podcast, where I share messages about spiritual healing from narcissistic abuse with human design. Because I believe your karmic experience has awakened you to your authentic soul, you just need the map to call your power back. I am your host, Raven Scott, and I'm an author and trauma-informed human design reader. So to start off with manifesting generators, and I will touch on the other types to include everyone, but since this episode is for all you man gens, we call you, you are a type of the five different types of human design. There's lots of different categories that describe who you are, how you are, and what are your different, you know, personality traits. And one of them is your type. So there are manifesting generators and generators. Those are the majority of the population, about 70%. And then we have the projectors, manifestors, and reflectors. So I put them in those two categories because the manifesting generator and the generator have a colored in red square just up like the second square from the bottom. That's called the sacral center. That is the doing life force motor engine energy. And then the other three, the projector, manifestor, and reflector, have that sacral white. They are amplifying energy. And so what that means is that you work in short spurts and sometimes you tend to burn yourself out and do way too much because you are excited and you're over amplifying the energy of those around you. So with manifesting generators, sometimes and a lot of times, since they are great multitaskers, they also face challenges like ADHD and also navigating relationships with narcissists, although we all do. But manifesting generators are known for their dynamic energy and their ability to manifest their desires. We all can manifest when we use our strategy, which depends on our type, because the manifesting generator has a motor connected to the throat. Everything that is informed can gather a troop around you. And when you speak it out to the universe and you speak it with gratitude and energy, that's how things manifest from our heads or from our bodies. When we speak it, there we manifest it. So that's why the manifesting generator is called just that, because they have a blend of the manifestor energy and blueprint type and the generator. They have a motor connected up to their throat, just like the manifestor. And they also have the sacral defined, so they have enough energy to think of an idea, inform through their voice, and then get going and doing it, all kind of within their own body. But with this intense energy, combining the initiating power of the manifestor and the sustainable energy of the generator, it can be a little bit daunting because you might have too many things you've started because you are the ultimate multitasker. You've got way too many books you've started and haven't finished on your nightstand. You may be shamed and the narcissist may call you flaky or scattered because of this constant dabbling, right? It's my favorite quote from one of those teenage Disney movies. Is it called The Descendants? I don't remember now. Where was the villain's kids in the high school? Anyways, she said, you know, because she's got this and she's got, and then he's like, oh, and you, it's okay, you can do that. You can make all this food. And she's like, she dabbles. And that's totally the manifesting generator's motto. She dabbles. You dabble here, you dabble there. You know, you're doing, trying this, you're trying that. You're the ultimate multitasker. You're very quick-paced energy, not finishing everything to fruition. You don't even start at the beginning of a book. You may even start in the middle, right? Like, the order of everything makes no sense to the generator or other people around you. and you just have this drive to start things. You have the energy to get it done, but it's like, oh, does my sacral say that I should get it done? No, I don't want to. And that's perfectly fine. You dabble. And so I want to remove the stigma from you that you have to finish everything, or that, you know, you are flaky, because you are not. You are just experimenting. It's the ultimate line three in the profiles of just kind of dipping your toes. Like, you can't just think about it and go, let me think through this and think if I want to do it or if I want to read it. You're like, let's just try it. Let's just try and see. And then if it doesn't work for you, then you don't have to finish it. So that's ultimately how I see the manifesting generator. I think it's beautiful. Like, living life tactilely through experiences and experimenting, I think that's awesome. But maybe that's just because I have an open mind and I understand the energy types. Other people, it drives them crazy. So sometimes children and adults get diagnosed ADHD that are manifesting generators because they're bouncing here and there and all around. And also, I just listened to a podcast by medical medium Anthony Williams, and he was talking about mercury and the fish and the fat, and how mercury is one of the biggest toxins that goes up to, in our bodies, to our brains, and it causes brain fog and so much more. And people get diagnosed with ADHD because of their high load of heavy metals. So maybe look into Anthony Williams as well if you're finding that your ADHD is just not manageable. It might just be a heavy load of heavy metals in your system. A little side note and a fun little rabbit hole to investigate.
But it's really important to understand and harness your energy. What is your strategy? Number one is to inform, and then number two is to wait to respond. So to wait to respond, here are some tips you can help with that. So first of all, you want to embrace your energy. You want to embrace that you dabble, and you want to embrace that you're not going to finish everything, and you don't have to finish everything. Recognize that your quick multitasking energy is natural for you. Instead of fighting it, find ways to work with it. Break tasks into smaller, manageable chunks and switch between them to keep your energy engaged. You could also need a physical outlet. So engage in some physical activities or exercise that helps you release that excess energy. Even yoga helps, running, dancing. This can help calm your mind and improve your focus. Because if you let your mind race too much, then you're not really getting anything done. And you have the sustaining energy to do so. So allow yourself those opportunities and those spaces to focus in. Like, listen to your sacral, because you have that defined. What am I supposed to be accomplishing today? And just do that in the beginning of the day. Focus in and really just hone in on what you have to do that day. The next thing is you can practice meditation and mindfulness, especially if you have an open root center. So I'm talking to all of you, not just Manjens. If you have an open root center, or if you're a generator who has the channel 35 defined, then you want, that's down in the sacral, you also have manifesting generator energies you're exuding. So you want to make sure that you are grounding yourself. Open root people as well, ground yourself, practice grounding, meditation, yoga, and mindfulness to help center your energy, to reduce the impulsivity. Allow yourself time to soak in. Okay, this is what I want to do. I want to do it now. No, go do something else. Go sweep or vacuum or cook something, and let the idea sink in. Let yourself understand that I don't have to get it done right now, and it's actually be better when I pause and I meditate on it and I let it sink in. And other strategies are going to come into your head and say, you need to do it this way. Because if you rush through it, you're just going to have to do it all over again, because you're rushing. And it's not going to be your best take. It's not going to be your best job. And then routine and structure is really important. So establishing a routine can provide a sense of stability, help manage your time more efficiently. Maybe you find a labeling system that helps you, a color system, an organizing system that helps you have that structure and focus. You know what, it was energetically, it's just like a totally spiritual woo system, but I loved this. I'm a generator, I have the gate 35. So I actually act and really resonate with all of you manifesting generators out there. I have a hard time focusing, I do things fast, I have an open route. So when I discovered that each day is ruled by a planet, I loved it. I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus my energy on what is in the cosmos today. So if it's Sunday, I'm focusing on getting outside, getting some sunshine, relaxing, doing some outdoor activities. And then also I record on Sundays as well, because that's kind of like the spotlight's on you kind of a day. And then Monday is the moon. So take extra time to do a workout or walking or something that is, you know, taking a bath or some type of spa relaxing activity, sitting and reading a book. That is ruled by the moon. So there's lots of feelings on Monday. That's why they call it Moody Monday. And then you have Tuesday. Tuesday is ruled by Mars. Mars is the action day. Now that's the day to go for it, right? So you could be stewing and planning on Monday, getting everything together for your work week. And then Tuesday is when you start to actually take action and get it done. Wednesdays are ruled by Mercury, and Mercury is the communication, the chatty kind of planet. So reaching out to people, connecting with people, like that's why I love to go lives on Wednesday, because it's just a fun day to socialize. It's all really well supported by Mercury. Getting things organized and in order as well, because Mercury rules Virgo. It's a great day for Wednesday. Thursday is ruled by Jupiter. Jupiter is also connected to Sagittarius, like the higher philosophy, expansion. It's a good day for teaching, for learning, for philosophizing, for thinking deeply, and it's a really good day for expansion. Friday is a great day for, it's ruled by Venus. So this is why usually Fridays are date nights, but also because the work week is done. But it's ruled by Venus, so creating something beautiful, lovely, refocusing on your finances, because Venus rules creativity and finances and romance, you know, sparking some romance, doing some self-love, self-romance activities on Fridays are really great. And then Saturday is ruled by Saturn. Saturn is responsibility. Hey, you know, boundaries. Hey, did you do this? Have you gotten this done? I always love to do housework on Saturdays. So that's where maybe you want to focus in and gain some structure and routine through those. And last one is healthy boundaries. Learn to say no to commitments that drain you. And that's what we're going to dig into next, is discernment. When to say no, how you know for sure to say no, and without doubting yourself that you're missing out on something or you're losing an opportunity with something or somebody. So focus on the activities and relationships that align with your passions and goals, and allow yourself to say no. So let's dive into the discernment, because we always talk about we're dealing with narcissists, but we're also trying to figure ourselves out and heal away from them. And it really requires a delicate balance of empathy and self-protection. So here's how all of you plus manifesting generators can navigate these relationships. So for those of us who have a defined sacral, so either generators or manifesting generators, you can trust your gut. Your gut sends these humming sounds up into your throat. Your gut tells you, ooh, this feels good, or it drops and it's not good. Then trust that. If that person's calling through and your gut drops, don't answer it, right? So you have a really strong gut response. So if something feels off in a relationship, trust your gut. Trust your intuition, which is in your gut, to take the appropriate action, to not engage or to engage. Now, there's a little bit of a caveat. If you have a defined solar plexus, the triangle on the right, in the bottom of the body graph, which that means that it's colored in, typically brown, then your inner authority, which is the way that you know, like how your intuition speaks to you, we're talking about discernment, your inner authority then is feeling through your gut and emotions throughout the waves of excitement, neutral, and then the lows about it, and then back to the neutral. So you need time. So you never, ever, if you have a defined emotional solar plexus center, don't ever say yes right away, and don't even say no right away, because you might regret it and want to do it. So just give yourself time and tell that person, let me, whatever you want to say, let me get back to you on it. I was going to say, let me think about it, but you were not really thinking about it, you're feeling about it. So then setting clear boundaries is important, of course, with narcissists. There's the free boundaries workshop. There's the free boundaries workshop that you can grab in the link in the show notes that I offer. And it just helps you gain your self-worth, your resolve to say, I'm not putting up with this anymore. No, you know what? I'm going to do what's best for me and my mental health, and I'm going to do what's best. Then it usually trickles over to whoever is in your family, like a partner or your children or what have you. It's okay to say no, and it's okay for it to be a complete sentence, because with narcissists, if you explain why, they will twist everything all up, and then they'll end up winning the argument when you're like, I'm not even arguing, like, I'm just telling you why, like, I'm giving you a reason, and then they'll use it against you, and then now your boundary's gone, and they make you feel bad. So some of us in the inner authority realm have what is called a splenic inner authority, where the spleen is defined and the solar plexus and is undefined, and typically the sacral, right? So sacral is white, that second square from the bottom, the solar plexus, the bottom right triangle is white, but the spleen, the triangle on the bottom left, is colored in. That means that you have a splenic inner authority. That is harkened back to the days of old, right? It's a very old, like, instinctual survival energy. So you know immediately in the moment, and then your brain might take over and rationalize away your inner authority, your intuition. So you know right away, you know in the now, and don't doubt yourself. That's your inner authority. That's your gut reaction. And then there's a few other inner authorities where it's ego and self-reflected. So those typically are with more white-centered charts, very rare. And those just mean talk it out, you know, reflect, self-reflect, talk to yourself, talk to a trusted group of friends. That's also the ego. Just talk it out, and then the answer will feel right and will make sense once you've talked it out. So with drawing boundaries, navigating, using discernment with narcissists, I think it's also important to limit your exposure, because the less you spend time with them, the less normal their toxic behavior is. And then when you do have interactions with them, you're like, gosh, my discernment's really picking up something off there. That just seems weird. And so, like, when you limit your exposure, it gives you almost like clarity, a clear mind. You're not so much like stuck in the fog and the mist, right? Just like if you are in a riptide in the ocean and you swim to the left or the right, you get out of the riptide versus trying to swim back into the shore, you're going to get sucked out into the riptide even more. Same thing. And of course, focus on your self-care. Engage in your self-care practices, which is part of nurturing your healing and your emotional growth back so that you can be discerning. So that's how you're going to find your North Star, and you're going to find your rudder, by tuning into yourself, which means taking care of yourself. What lights you up? What makes you happy? What nurtures you? And these can be as simple as some of what the moon rituals, you know, are in the book. taking a bath, taking a walk, eating delicious food, organizing things, just like refocusing on yourself, because dealing with a narcissist is a full-time job. And then you've kind of left your life is scattered and unorganized. And then, of course, seek help, seek coaching through, you know, the human design readings. I also am trauma-informed, so I also do coaching with that with me. Or you can seek support through therapy at betterhelp.com/empath. Or even a local therapist who's trauma-informed. Surround yourself with new friends. Find your new soul family. And friends and family, I don't know. If you have a supportive family, then also, of course, don't be afraid to ask for help. And most importantly, of course, speak to people who understand the narcissistic dynamics and don't make you feel guilty or ashamed that you were in there in the first place, because that's not going to help you. So as a generator, as a manifesting generator, a projector, manifester, and reflector, all of your energies are powerful. And they're a powerful tool for your personal growth and for navigating the challenging relationships, especially with the narcissist. By understanding and harnessing your energy, you can calm the symptoms of ADHD, of self-doubt, and not knowing if you're making the right choices, and using that discernment to determine, okay, this is a red flag, or this is a not normal behavior. And understanding all of that, then you can have that self-awareness and using your discernment by tapping into your human design inner authority and understanding what is your human design type's strategy. I'm pretty darn sure I made an episode about strategy for each type, so I will link that in the show notes below. That way you can go, okay, what is my strategy and what does that mean? That I've created. It'll be in the link in the show notes. And trust in your own voice. Trust in your own intuition. And use it to create a life that aligns with your truest self. I'll also link the Inner Authority episode I created in the show notes below. So thank you. Thank you for being here and subscribing, writing a review if you can, and sharing this podcast with a friend to help them understand their unique map blueprint out of the fog of narcissistic abuse. Make sure to grab one of my offerings in the link in the show notes, the Empath and the Narcissist book, my first book, Baby, on Audible or paperback, the second book, Baby, Empath's Guide to Rising Strong, which explains all of the things that I just talked about in the book form, and you can use your chart, compare it, and read, understand it, and you can grab a human design reading from me. All the links are in the show notes. Until next time, keep your unique light shining. And I know of sadness, the anxious and panic, the infinite vastness of all that is black.